Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta f*** the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up. Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yepper!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. There's so much you can do on the internet, starting with discovering the malady that apparently I have regarding the Olympics. So I'm watching the Olympics and I'm flipping back and forth between the NBC and the US network, USA network, wherever NBC rented space, because they're airing different programs. And I found myself being attracted to the sports that had a bit of danger involved. Yeah, that, you know, the stuff where they're shushing down the hill and going really fast by themselves. That's cool. When two people are even doing the slalom thing. Yeah, that's cool. When they're speeding around the rink, that's cool. But when they're speeding around the rink and there's 10 of them, oh, yeah, because when they wipe out, yeah, baby. Or when they're doing the slalom thingy on the board, not the two skis, but what the snowboarding thing, and it's four of them, oh, and they can crash into each other and wipe. That's the stuff. It's blood sport. I've got the disease of blood sport. Apparently, never mind. You don't have to look that up on the internet. Instead, when you find things wretched, please send them to idea@wretched.org, or you can text 877-282-2337. Jimmy, you got a favorite?
I'm a fan of the curling.
Really?
That's not blood sport.
But nobody can get hurt.
That's right.
And you know, they could stub their toe on a stone, but other than that, there's no danger involved.
Yeah.
Give me something where people can just crash. Isn't it fascinating to watch the Olympics? There was this one girl, an American figure skating, and it I think it's something worth pondering, especially if you've got a child that's interested in sports. The pressure on these athletes is staggering. She missed her flip or her... What's the difference between a triple toe loop and a sow cow? I don't know, but she missed one of them completely and she totally wrecked. Totally wrecked. And at one point in her young career, I think at the age of like 13 or 14, she had to quit. Maybe she was 15. Couldn't take the pressure anymore. Should sports be that heavy for young people that they have nervous breakdowns? The weight of their parents and the money and all the getting up early in the morning to take them to practice, the traveling, oh, and the expense of all of the equipment and the physio. And then they don't perform. And you know why, Jimmy, they don't win? Well, I can tell you why. Do you know why? Because I watched the Olympics. They did not believe in themselves enough.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they only did that...
We need to send them copies of the Let Them Theory.
It hasn't been as obnoxious as it has been in the past, but it's still there. I just want my kids coming behind me to know if they set their minds to it, they can do anything they want to accomplish. No, they can't. No, they can't. It's just so patently false. I want to become the ruler of the planet. I really want it. I believe in myself. Ain't going to happen. Reality kicks in. That wretched worldview that says you can just put your mind to it and believe anything that you want to is so fallacious. And it's so obviously false. That people keep repeating that mantra is a mystery to me. 877-282-2337.
And speaking of wretched worldview and wretched worldview too, they can be found right now for free at fortisplus.org.
I have better self-control than you.
Well,
I thought it. I thought it. I just didn't execute.
I'm a shameless radio guy.
Not really when you're giving it away. It's not really shameless.
That's true.
If we were still selling stuff, yeah, but for free, we're like the ShamWow guy.
All right. This question comes from Bo. It's a correction. Todd, recently you estimated Chattanooga has a population of 200,000.
I guess.
Per the Google machine, the population of Chattanooga area in the Chattanooga metropolitan area is estimated at about 437,000.
Do you believe everything your government says?
You believe
Who are you going to trust? The government or a talk show host? I think we can move on right now. It can't be a 500,000 people. Is it that big?
Close to it.
It must. Okay. But not Chattanooga itself.
And they're all on the interstate at one time.
Okay. So true. It's the most awful town to get into. Now, wait a second. That must be the surrounding area. Just do Chattanooga proper. And I'm telling that's got to be a lower number because it's sort of like Atlanta. Atlanta itself, like the city of Atlanta, like 1 million people, something like that. The metropolitan area, 6 million people. They aren't all in downtown Atlanta. They're all the way up to where we are in the northern suburbs. And I think the same thing might be true of Chattanooga, which, by the way, I got to tell you, is a good foodie town. It's got a great aquarium. I think it's pretty safe at night. They do have a wee bit of a homeless problem that I think needs to be addressed. If we would come to our senses and start being kind to those people and help them as opposed to enable them to continue living on the streets, it isn't always warm in Chattanooga. It can be sweaty in the summertime. It'd be kinder if we helped them. What do you got?
Well, you'd never argue with a talk show host.
Uh-oh.
191,500.
It's good to be a talk show host. Like a blind knife that finds a squirrel in the drawer twice a day. 877-282-2337.
A text from Moses. Todd, I'm 14 and I have a dear friend who is struggling with depression and I'm trying to help them through it. Could you give me some feedback?
There's so much. Here's the first thing that I would say to you. Be a great friend. Be a really good friend. Be a check-in on them friend. Be one who just shows up to show that you actually care. That's a really good thing to do. If this individual is a professing Christian, I would also suggest, really encourage, see how you can spend time with your friend in the Bible. Let that book do the work that only it can do. Spend time in the Psalms. You could, this would even be good for you in advance. Go find the Psalms that you think might speak to this person and what they're going through. And almost certainly there will be multiple Psalms that this person can relate to because the Psalms are loaded with laments. I think there's like 45 or 50 of the Psalms are lament Psalms. And then read through them and let the word comfort him. You can also just spend time asking questions. You could find resources. Encourage your friend to be in church. They need that type of community. When appropriate, encourage other people to come alongside of your friend to just surround them with kindness and love. Those are things that you can do to help a friend like that. If you think, however, that they're ever suicidal in their depression, You got to call in reinforcements. Mom and dad have to know about this. We've got to make sure that they don't harm themselves. Short of that, I would encourage you, spend time with them specifically around the Bible. Jimmy, you got anything else for this young, caring, I don't know if it's a boy or, did you say it's a boy or a girl?
His name is Moses.
I'm going with a boy.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, no, I completely agree with what you're saying.
Way to go, Moses. Way to go. And you know what? Moses, you do not hear that name. I mean, we got Jacobs all over the place. Marks and Davids still. Moses, you don't hear that very often.
No.
Yeah. And Habakkuk. You don't hear Habakkuk. Not many people. No. We've got somebody in church. They just had a baby 2 nights ago, I believe, their second child. It's a boy. It's a fifth, like a V at the end of their name.
Wow.
Fifth generation, same name. Is that ever cool? Yeah. I got to tell you, that is so cool. You know, Jimmy, I was thinking about where you come from because I was in Tennessee, your neck of the... No, I was not in your neck of the woods. I was in your woods last week.
Yeah.
And I know that with it, and it's not just Tennessee, it's almost every rural area and farming community. The kids want out. They don't want to be there. They want to be where the lights are bright. They want big city and all of that. And I thought, that's such a bummer. Because the family farm and passing that down, I just saw a video, speaking of a fifth, it was they do soybean processing to provide seeds for the rest of the nation to plant soybeans. That too was fifth generation. Mm-hmm. And he said, and the sixth generation is queued up and ready to go. And I went, oh man, that's awesome. And I just knew that we don't have that sort of legacy anymore because the kids seem to think the best thing that they can do is get away from their families, when in reality, the best thing you can do is stay with your family, even if it means staying in Covington, Tennessee. This is Wretched Radio.
Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. Our resource, Terrified 2, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and he actually gave us the tools to obey it. Terrified 2, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, there's no shortage of voices telling women how to handle anxiety, how to navigate relationships, how to find their identity. If the content we're producing at Fortis Institute has been meaningful to you, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like for you to be a part of getting content like The Better Way into the hands of women who need it. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Most of us haven't really thought about persecution, not the real kind, not the kind where following Jesus actually costs you something. But Christians throughout history have indeed faced it. And depending on where things are headed, we might too. So what does the Bible say you're supposed to do when the pressure mounts? That's exactly what our resource Persecution is all about. It's teaching built on the book of 1 Peter with historical context from the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Persecution, available now on Fortis Plus.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote to the elect exiles who were facing persecution for the sake of Christ. Peter exhorted them to trust God and to continue living godly lives. He reminds them of their hope in Christ and their high calling. When you want to learn joyful obedience, no matter what your circumstances, look to 1 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please forgive me. Covington. This is Wretched Radio. Just kidding. I don't need to apologize to Covington, Tennessee. You know why?
Why?
They don't have electricity. Who's listening to Wretched Radio on?
They do.
Internet? Do they have internet?
And even indoor plumbing.
No, then my apologies, Covington. This is Wretched Radio. What's on your computer that you think is wretched? Send it to idea@wretched.org. If you would like to text 877, they have cell phone service.
They do. Hey, you know what else they have? They even have a
Zaxby's.
They even have a Zaxby's. Did you see it?
I almost stopped. It was on the left-hand side driving in from the airport. You're really on your way to Kentucky.
Yeah.
And there was a Zaxby's on the left. And they were building another one. It was the whitest Zaxby's. I don't know. It's like maybe that's their new color scheme for the outside of the building. But it was like, whoa, white. And by the way, speaking of white, and specifically painting houses white, where do I send a letter that encourages the person who's leading the White House charge to stop? And I'm not talking about Pennsylvania Avenue. Jimmy, do you drive? Is it the same thing? You're a little further north than we are.
Right.
Is everybody paints their house white?
I'm noticing it, yes.
Have we just lost our imagination? Like, there's other try taupe. Do a little taupe action. 877-282-2000. I'm sending a strongly worded letter.
To who?
Once I get that address.
And what color is taupe?
Taupe is gray brown.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead and spell taupe.
T-A-U-P-E.
Nice. Look at the education in Covington.
That's right.
877-282-2337.
This is from David. Todd, I would like to gain a wider understanding of fasting. Do you have any recommendations for resources?
I have two, a don't and a do. The don't is Jensen Franklin's work on fasting. He's not a reliable teacher. He's a prosperity teacher. I recommend you stay away from that. It was just a huge trend, sermon series for the longest time in a book, and he's on the TV promoting it. Not a reliable source. On the other hand, I do have a good source regarding fasting, the Bible. And the Bible doesn't present it as something that is either commanded nor forbidden. It is almost, but not quite assumed. Jesus talked about fasting, specifically in the Sermon on the Mount, to denounce the Pharisees that were making a show of it. Jesus said, when you fast, I think it might be safer to say, if you fast, don't do it like this. He wasn't commanding fasting. He was simply stating, if you're going to participate in fasting, make sure you don't turn it into a show. He denounced that sort of Pharisaism. He didn't command it, but neither is it forbidden. So can you fast? Yes. Do you have to fast? No. How should you do it? Well, first of all, let's just take care of the physical side of it. Be safe. Make sure you got enough water. Don't do something that will cause an organ to shut down. And do it with the right motives. Understand that fasting can intensify your prayers. It can do that. Fasting can help you remember your prayer request during the day. Just be careful you never think that your fasting is earning more favor with God. That would be to cross a line. You can't have more favor with God than you already do. And it's pretty easy to, when you do something, air quotes, spiritual, to think, God's got a smile on me now. He already is, because you are in the Son. Jimmy, do you know of any books on fasting that are reliable?
Yeah, the only one that I can think of is from John Piper. It's A Hunger for God, the entire book's devoted to fasting and prayer.
All right, Jimmy, I'm going to say this just for you.
Okay.
Because you like dad jokes.
Hello?
That would be a good book to consume.
Fasting. That's so good.
I wasn't going to say it. Came to mind, but I thought it was like my little dad joke gift for you. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Janae. Todd, I would like to get your opinion on something. I attend a great Bible teaching church. However, there are sin issues that are never addressed. This really concerns me. I've been there for almost 12 years and I've never heard a sermon that addresses the sin of abortion or what abortion is. Mm. We have one service every year that's devoted to the sanctity of human life, and yet the topic of abortion is never addressed.
Mm.
I wonder if it's being purposefully avoided.
You know how we might be able to resolve that mystery? Spend time praying making sure your heart is right, and then go meet with your pastor. And if you approach him respectfully, you'll discover why he does or doesn't. And even if he's aware of it, he might go, oh, you know what? You're right. I got to get on that. Ask him if he's aware of it and ask him what his thinking is. Not with a loaded gun, but to simply say, hey, could you explain it to me? Because, you know, it's kind of a national scourge. It's kind of a big deal. I'm just wondering how you think these things through. And if he's a godly man, if he's an individual who is trying, even if you disagree with him, would I leave a church over something like that? No, I wouldn't. It might bug me on occasion, but if you've got a guy who's in the saddle and he's trying to lead the congregation to loving the Lord more by preaching the Bible accurately and expositionally, then you got yourself a good church. It might even, okay, let's just imagine this. Jimmy, would you stay in a church? Okay, so you approach the pastor, and the pastor says something like, well, the truth is, I'm just scared to tackle the subject because I think that there might be some people in the congregation that would be offended by it. Now, remember, he's a good Bible teaching. He's a good preacher, faithful guy. Would you leave if he responded like that?
No.
Me neither.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. So he biffs it. It's not a theological issue anywhere near an essential or cardinal doctrine. So I don't think you have to leave. You could try to encourage him. Well, pastor, something to think about. Because, and I think one of the ways that you can really encourage your pastor to preach about it, should he mention that it's a sin? Oh, absolutely. But then he needs to remind those women in the congregation who have committed that sin, there's forgiveness in Jesus. That's my favorite part of talking about this subject. Is it a scourge in our country? Absolutely. It's the number one cause of death globally. So it's wickedness. That's horrible sin. And yet, Jesus' grace is so massive. It's so expansive. It even covers the sin of abortion. So if you're sitting here today and you've never repented because you didn't think Jesus would forgive you for your abortion, he will. And if you are in Christ and you sin, did you do a grievous thing? You most certainly did, but you need to understand grace, God's grace that is greater than all of your sins, including that of abortion. And we get to joyfully announce, you don't need to be a back row Christian. You don't have to be a second class Christian. You are in Christ. You are just as forgiven as everybody else. And it's a joyful thing to talk about the subject of abortion. You must proclaim it as a sin, but then you must lift up the Savior who's willing to forgive that sin. Talk to your pastor. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. What are your tips for keeping the wonder and awe as a believer? I'm definitely still enamored by the triune God, what he's done and continues to do for me, but I want to avoid any apathy and numbness when worshiping.
Good for you. There's an effort that has to go into it. It really is. The worship is a participatory sport. You can't just sit there and, all right, if the music really washes over me, I'm going to feel it this way. No. You got to engage your brain. So you're on the right course already. You realize that worship begins with cognition, not emotion. The emotions follow. Just go read a number of Psalms and you're going to see it. I'm worshiping God because, or truth about God, therefore, I exalt him. It's always grounded in truth. So make sure that you continue to stay in truth and in the land of didactics, in the land of knowledge, but don't stay there. I mean, make sure you're always planted there, but out of that soil should blossom warm affections toward God. So be careful of the preaching that you're consuming. Make sure that it points you to Jesus and our amazing Savior. Make sure that you're reading your Bible and you're doing it asking questions. What does this tell me about my God? What do I get to see about my God here? We just preached on Sunday. We're in 1 Peter, just in case anybody is interested. Now, we're at a Bible church. That you have privileges in Christ, that you get to know more than the Old Testament prophets who are serving you. That's a privilege. Now, if you stop there, you maybe were encouraged a little bit because it's like, cool, I got privileges. But there's another step. Who provides those privileges? What kind of God would privilege the rebels? What kind of God would offer them so many blessings in the heavenly places? Jesus Christ, that's the God that we worship. The one who not only forgives, he's the one who welcomes, and he is the one who lavishes privileges on us. We need to make sure that our Bible reading and our preaching ends with the understanding of how good God is. And if you just keep focused on that, your affections, they're going to ebb and flow. You need to know that. Don't always be thinking mountaintop, mountaintop, mountaintop. Steady, steady, steady. And the way to do that is to grow in your love for the Lord more. And the way to do that is to spend time establishing truth that doesn't stay in your head, but makes its way to your heart. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.